إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so then last week we started this chapter where it was talking about the izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we mentioned the different types of izzah or the different meanings of this izzah from the name of Allah al-Aziz. So today then, after that introduction, we go into the first hadith in this chapter, which will be talking about the izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first hadith then, who's going to read?
صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول أعوذ بعزتك الذي لا إله إلا أنت الذي لا يموت والجن والإنس يموتون.
واس. لاود.
قال البخاري رحمه الله قال حدثنا أبو معمر قال حدثنا عبد الوارث قال حدثنا حسين المعلم قال حدثني عبد الله بن بريدة عن يحيى بن يعمر عن ابن عباس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول أعوذ بعزتك الذي لا إله إلا أنت الذي لا يموت والجن والإنس يموتون.
Loud voice.
قال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا أبو معمر قال حدثنا عبد الوارث قال حدثنا حسين المعلم قال حدثني عبد الله بن بريدة عن يحيى بن يعمر عن ابن عباس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول أعوذ بعزتك الذي لا إله إلا أنت الذي لا يموت والجن والإنس يموتون.
So here then you have the hadith. قال البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا أبو معمر قال حدثنا عبد الوارث قال حدثنا حسين المعلم قال حدثني عبد الله ابن بريدة عن يحيى ابن يعمر عن ابن عباس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول أعوذ بعزتك الذي لا إله إلا أنت الذي لا يموت والجن والإنس يموتون. In this chain of narration then, firstly there is Abu Ma'mar. He is Abdullah ibn Amr al-Minqari. Abdullah ibn Amr al-Minqari. Thiqatun thabt rumiya bil qadr. Then there is Abdul Warith. He is Ibn Sa'id ibn Dhakwan al-Basri. Thiqatun thabt rumiya bil qadr wa lam yathbut anhu. Then Hussein ibn Dhakwan al-Mu'allim, also Basri, thiqatun rubbama wahim. Then Abdullah ibn Buraydah ibn al-Husayb al-Aslami al-Mirwazi, thiqa. Yahya ibn Ya'mar, also Basri, thiqa. Kana yursil. عن ابن عباس and who was ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. His name was what? Here it just says عن ابن عباس. ابن عباس said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say. Who is ابن عباس? What was his name? Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Abbas. So when you hear the name Ibn Abbas, his name was Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. So his name was Abdullah, and he was the son of Abbas. Who was Abbas? This person is Abdullah, the son of Abbas. But who was Abbas? His father. Who was Abbas? He was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say, أعوذ بعزتك الذي لا إله إلا أنت, that I seek refuge. Seeking refuge meaning that you're asking Allah for protection. You're asking Allah for protection. You're asking Allah for refuge. As a place of safety. Some safety. You're asking Allah to give you safety and to give you protection. Here the Prophet ﷺ used to say, أَعُوذُ بِعِزَّتِكَ, I seek refuge by your izzah. That might, that power, that majesty we spoke about, I seek refuge by your izzah, the one whom there is no other deity worthy of worship except you. أَلَّذِي لَا يَمُوت, Allah, the one who does not die. وَالْجِنُّ وَالْإِنْسُ يَمُوتُونَ, but the jinn and the humans, they die. الشاهد, يقول الشيخ الأثيمين, الشاهد قوله أعوذ بعزتك. The point of this narration is because this topic was about the izzah of Allah, that might, that power from the name Al-Aziz. This hadith, does it mention izzah? It mentions izzah in it. So he says the point of the hadith is أَعُوذُ بِعِزَّتِكَ فَأَثْبَتَ لِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَسَبَقَ لَنَا أَنَّ الْعِزَّةِ ثَلَاثَةَ أَقْسَامِ, أَنَّ الْعِزَّةَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامِ, عِزَّةُ الْقَهْرِ وَعِزَّةُ الْغَلَبَةِ وَعِزَّةُ الْإِمْتِنَاعِ, that there were three types of this izzah for Allah. One was izzatul qahr, that power, that might. And izzatul ghalaba, that Allah is the overwhelming and the conquering. And izzatul imtina', that Allah is mighty to the extent, meaning that He can prevent any deficiency from Himself. There is no deficiency for Allah. There is no shortcoming for Allah. عِزَّةُ الْإِمْتِنَاعِ. وَمَعْنَى أَعُوذُ أَعْتَصِمُ وَيُقَالَ أَعُوذُ وَأَلُوذُ, وَالْفَرْقُ بَيْنَهُمَا أَنَّ الْلِيَاذُ فِي طَلَبِ الْمَحْبُوبِ وَالْعِيَاذُ فِي الْإِلْتِجَاءِ مِنَ الْمَرْهُوبِ. The Shaykh, he mentions, أعوذ means أعتصم, and that is, as we said, you are seeking protection from Allah, you are seeking safety from Allah. That is what it means when you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, I seek refuge and protection and safety in Allah from the shaytan. So أعوذ meaning seeking that refuge and protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of the hadith, therefore, is to affirm the attribute of izzah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to affirm the attribute of izzah. And this attribute of izzah comes from the name of Allah, Al-Aziz. And the rule was, every name of Allah has an attribute that comes from it. So from the name Al-Aziz comes the attribute Al-Izzah. That is the purpose of that particular narration there. Then after that, the next narration. The next hadith, wasn't read yet.
قال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا ابن أبي الأسود قال حدثنا حرمي قال حدثنا شعبة عن قتادة عن أنس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يلقى في النار. وقال لي خليفة حدثنا يزيد ابن زريع قال حدثنا سعيد عن قتادة عن أنس حا وعن معتمر سمعت أبي عن قتادة عن أنس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يزال يلقى فيها وتقول هل من مزيد حتى يضع فيها رب العالمين قدمه فينزوي بعضها إلى بعض ثم تقول قد بعزتك وكرمك ولا تزال الجنة تفضل حتى ينشئ الله لها خلقا فيسكنهم فضل الجنة.
Anyone else? Go on. Loud voice.
قال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا ابن أبي الأسود قال حدثنا هرمي قال حدثنا شعبة عن قتادة عن أنس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال
Sit still when you read. Sit still.
وقال لي خليفة قال حدثنا يزيد بن زريع قال حدثنا سعيد عن قتادة عن أنس وعن معتمر سمعت أبي عن قتادة عن أنس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يزال يلقى فيها وتقول هل من مزيد حتى يضع فيها رب العالمين قدمه فينزوي بعضها إلا بعض ثم تقول قد بإذنك وكرمك ولا تزال الجنة تقبل حتى ينشئ الله لها خلقا ويسكنهم فضل الجنة.
When reading, especially the Quran, it's a habit of the people to do what? To rock. Rock when reading the Quran. And you go to the circles when the kids are learning and everybody's doing this backwards and forwards. Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he mentioned it is not suitable to do that. When you're reading the Quran, when you're reading generally even hadith, etc., to do this when you're reading, rocking forward and backward, it is not good to do that. Because that type of movement in reading is something which in particular is a characteristic of the Jews when they're doing it forward and back. So Shaykh Al-Fawzan said you should not do that, particularly in Quran, because it's a habit of everyone. The kids, they start learning from a young age in that way, backwards and forwards. So it shouldn't be like that. Try to remain sit without movement. Here then, قال البخاري رحمه الله. This hadith, as you can see, various chains are mentioned for it. For our purposes, we're going to mention the first chain, and then we'll go to the text, and the remainder of the chains, we can come to them later. حدثنا ابن أبي الأسود. He is Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Abi al-Aswad. Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Abi al-Aswad. Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Abi al-Aswad. And he's al-Basri, thiqatun hafidh. He says, حدثنا حرامي. حرامي. He was حرامي ibn Umarah. Not Ammara, Umara. Harami ibn Umara. He was also Basri, Saduqun Yahim. Then Shu'ba. We've done it before. Shu'ba, we did him before, famous one. Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, ibn al-Ward, al-Ataki, Mawlahum, Abu al-Bistam, al-Wasati, thumma al-Basri, thiqatun hafidh mutqin. Then Qatada ibn Di'ama as-Sadusi Al-Basri, thiqatun thabt. And then he narrates from Anas, the companion, radiallahu anhu, and that is the first narration or the first chain onto that hadith. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يلقى في النار. It will be thrown, or he will be thrown into the fire. Then you have the other chain. قال لي خليفة قال حدثنا يزيد بن زريع قال حدثنا سعيد عن قتادة عن أنس حاء meaning تحويل of the إسناد وعن معتمر سمعت أبي عن قتادة عن أنس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يزال يلقى فيها. That the people, the fuel of the fire, they will continuously be thrown into the fire. They will be being thrown into the fire. وتقول, and hellfire will say, هل من مزيد? Is there more? Is there more? They are being cast into the fire, and it will say, is there more? Is there more? حتى يضع فيها رب العالمين قدمه. Until then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places his foot upon the hellfire. فينزوي بعضها إلى بعض. So then it is, the sides of it come together. ثم تقول, then it says, قد, قد, meaning sufficient, enough. Now that is enough, enough. بِعِزَّتِكَ وَكَرَمِكَ. And that will be the point of the narration. بِعِزَّتِكَ again. And وَكَرَمِكَ. وَلَا تَزَالُ الْجَنَّةِ. Then it mentions about paradise, that paradise will remain with vacancy. There will be space still left in paradise. After everybody who's gonna go to paradise goes in, there is still space left in paradise. وَلَا تَزَالُ الْجَنَّةِ أَفْضُلُ. There is still space left in paradise after all of the people of paradise have gone in. حَتَّى يُنْشِئَ اللَّهُ لَهَا خَلْقًا فَيُسْكِنَهُمْ فَضْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a creation, creates more, and enters them directly into paradise, into the space that remains in paradise. Allah creates more creation at that time, creates them and enters them into paradise, created to go and fill that space in paradise. So that is what this narration mentions. In the explanation, going to the explanation of the matn, لا يزال يلقى فيها, أي في جهنم, وهي تقول هل من مزيد. That in hellfire, the ones who are gonna go to hellfire, they are being thrown in. They are being thrown in. And the hellfire carries on saying, more, is there more? Is there more? And they're being thrown in more and more. And it keeps saying, is there more? Is there more? When the hellfire keeps saying, is there more? Hal istifham wa min mazid mubtada fihi min azza'ida lafdan azza'ida ma'nan wa hadha istifham hal huwa lit-talab aw lin-nafi. When the hellfire says, is there more? Is that because the hellfire is negating the desire for more? Or is that because the hellfire is affirming the desire for more? Meaning, when the hellfire says, is there more? Is it a way of saying that, is there more? Meaning, it's full. Hellfire is full. It's a negation. A negation, not desiring more, but a statement to indicate that it is full. In فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالْ, هُنَاكَ قَوْلَانْ, مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالْ إِنَّهُ لِلنَّفِي وَأَنَّ الْمَعْنَى لَا مَزِيدَ عَلَى مَا عِنْدِي لَا مَزِيدَ عَلَى مَا عِنْدِي. يعني أنها قد امتلأت. That the fire is now full and there is no more. That is one possible meaning of that statement. Is there more? The second meaning of it is, what would be more apparently understood, that are there more? Are there more to come? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالَ لِلطَّلَبْ يَعْنِي هَاتْ زِدْ وَهَذَا الْقَوْلَ الثَّانِي هُوَ الْمُتَعِيِّنُ لِأَنَّ الْحَدِيثِ يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ. This second meaning is what is understood here. That the hellfire is saying, more, are there more? Give more. It's being full, it's being filled with the people of hellfire. It's being filled and filled. Yet it continues to say, are there more? Give more. And some more go in and it carries on saying, more, give more. That is the meaning of it. That the hellfire is requesting more, give. Give more. And they keep coming. Those people deserving of the hellfire. Until eventually, حتى يضع فيها رب العالمين قدمه فينزوي بعضها إلى بعض. Until then, in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts his foot upon the hellfire, and so it comes together, the sides of it come together. And then, after that is when it will say, that's enough. Sufficient, sufficient. يدل على أنها تطلب المزيد لأن الله تعالى قد وعدها وهو أصدق الواعدين وأوفاهم وعدها بأن يملأها. Allah promised, it's mentioned, that Allah promised the hellfire that it would be filled. Promise from Allah that the hellfire will be filled. So when the hellfire was being filled and it was not yet full, it carried on saying, more, give more. Because the promise was there that it will be filled. فَإِذَا سُئِلَتْ هَلْ امْتَلَأَتْ قَالَتْ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. So whenever the fire was asked, if it was asked, when it was asked, is it full, are you full? It would say, more, give more, are there more? Because it wasn't yet full. يعني أعطوني زيدوا علي. So the fire kept saying, give me more, give me some extra yet. فيضع, in the end then, يضع فيها رب العالمين قدمه. Allah places his foot in it. فينزوي بعضها إلى بعض. Then it comes together. ثم تقول, then it says, قد قد. وفي رواية قط قط. وهي لغتان معروفتان في هذه الكلمة ومعناها حسب. يعني يكفي. So then when Allah places his foot into the fire, places his foot upon the fire, then the hellfire says, enough, enough. That is now sufficiency, that is now enough. بِعِزَّتِكَ وَكَرَمِكَ. So then the hellfire seeks a means, a tawassul, in asking Allah, in speaking to Allah, بِعِزَّتِكَ وَكَرَمِكَ. By your might and your generosity. تتوسل إلى الله بعزته وكرمه ألا يضع عليها قدمه أكثر مما وضع. So then when Allah placed his foot upon the fire now says, enough, enough. That is sufficiency, full. And then asks Allah, makes the wasila via the might and the power of Allah. Asking Allah, by your might, by your power, by your generosity, that is enough, that is full. Meaning, by your might and your power, do not place your foot upon or within the fire any further. That is now enough, that is full, that is sufficient. لِأَنَّهُ يَنْزَوِي بَعْضُهَا إِلَى بَعْضٍ. Because it was now crashing in upon itself. It was now closing in upon itself when Allah placed his foot in it. أي تنضم لأن وضع رب العزة عليها قدمه ليس بالأمر الهين. Because of course when Allah سبحانه وتعالى places his foot into it, then that is not something minor. That is not something minor. ينزوي بعضها إلى بعض وتضيق. It falls in upon itself and it squashes in upon itself and tightens. Until the fire then says, بِعِزَّتِكَ وَكَرَمِكَ. By your might and your power, that is it, that is enough. That is sufficient now. فتوسلت بالعزة التي بها القهر والكرم الذي به الفضل ألا يضع قدمه عليها. So the fire sought that request from Allah by mentioning the might and the power of Allah. That is the might and the power that Allah does as He pleases. And by mentioning the karam, the generosity of Allah, that Allah may then stop and not place the foot any further upon the hellfire. فالشاهد من هذا الحديث قوله بعزتك وحدث به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مقررا له. وفيه أيضا شاهد آخر. So the izzah that is there, it is affirmed again. The fire says, by your izzah, this is enough, now it is enough. So the izzah is affirmed. There is something else which is affirmed here. فيه أيضا شاهد آخر لصفة من صفات الله الخبرية وهي القدم وفي رواية رجله. فعند أهل السنة والجماعة على القاعدة المعروفة المشهورة أن نجعل الرجل والقدم حقيقية رجل أو قدم والمعنى واحد حقيقي يليق بالله عز وجل كاليد. والدليل على هذا أنه ينزوي بعضها إلى بعض من شدة ما وضع عليها وعظمته. وهذا هو مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. ولكن هل نعم. So up to here then, we also learn in this hadith an additional benefit more than just the issue of the izzah. We also learn about this attribute which is mentioned regarding the foot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in some of the narrations it mentions the rijl, which you may interpret as the leg, but it also refers to the foot. That is like the word yad. Yad linguistically in Arabic can refer to anything from the shoulder down. Technically all of that can be referred to linguistically as the yad. So sometimes the rijl is mentioned, sometimes the qadam is mentioned, but all of those, the point is, the rule with Ahlul Sunnah is that we affirm them upon reality. Allah mentions He has the foot, or the leg as it is mentioned, the foot, then we affirm this to be the case in reality. We do not interpret, we do not make intellectual interpretations regarding what that could mean, similes or metaphors. We do not try to derive those types of things. Rather, we affirm these attributes as they have been mentioned. But we say, as we always say, the affirmation of the foot of Allah is upon the principle, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Allah. And upon the affirmation that there is no resemblance of Allah to creation. And that this attribute will be affirmed in a manner that is befitting of the majesty of Allah. كما يليق به. As it is befitting of the majesty of Allah will be these attributes and the foot, etc. ولكن هل هذه الرجل تماثل أرجل المخلوقين. So the Shaykh, he brings out the point too. When we say the foot of Allah, does that mean that the foot of Allah is like the foot of creation? الجواب لا. The answer, as you should know by now, is absolutely no. والدليل قوله تعالى, and the evidence is the ayah, which is the basis of understanding the tawheed of al-asma'i wa sifat. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فهذه الآية تعتبر قاعدة في كل صفة. This ayah is a principle for every attribute of Allah. All the attributes that we come across, this ayah is the basis upon which you understand those attributes. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa as-sami' al-basir. But despite there not being anything at all resemblant to Allah, He is still the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So Allah has attributes. He has attributes. Yet those attributes are not in any way resemblant to creation. That is the basis of understanding the attributes of Allah. We affirm them upon reality. No similes, no metaphors. Upon reality. But that reality is not something comparable or in any type of resemblance to creation whatsoever.
وَالْعَقْلْ يَدُلُّ أَيْضًا عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا تَمَاثُلْ إِذْ لَا تَمَاثُلَ بَيْنَ الْخَالِقِ وَالْمَخْلُوقِ فَكَمَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مَثِيلَ لَهُ فِي ذَاتِهِ فَلَا مَثِيلَ لَهُ فِي صِفَاتِهِ.
Just like Allah. Allah, does Allah have anyone else equal to Him? So the attributes of Allah, they take the exact same understanding. The attributes of Allah, the sifat, the rule is the same as the that. Thatullah, same as the sifatullah. There is nothing comparable to Allah. So you can say the same thing. There is nothing comparable to the attributes of Allah because the attributes of Allah are of Allah. And there's nothing comparable to Allah. Equals, there is nothing comparable to the attributes of Allah either.
وَلِهَذَا قَالَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ. And that is why the people of knowledge, they say, الْكَلَامُ فِي الصِّفَاتِ فَرْعٌ عَنِ الْكَلَامِ فِي الذَّاتِ.
Speaking about the attributes of Allah is just an extension of speaking about Allah Himself. Speaking about the attributes of Allah is just an extension of speaking about Allah Himself. Allah Himself, you would say there is no comparison, no resemblance, etc. So you say the same by extension to the attributes of Allah. There is no comparison, there is no resemblance. And that is a type of principle when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah. And it reminds me, the master's exam for Aqeedah, that year when we did the exam for the masters in Aqeedah, this was one of the questions. They said, look, this principle, talking about the essence of Allah, it is, the far' from that is talking about the attributes of Allah. When you talk about Allah, the rules and the principles, and when you talk about the attributes of Allah, the rules and the principles, what is the connection and how does it work? This principle. So then you have to explain that if you're going to say Allah in His essence, Allah does not have any comparison. Everybody says that. Everybody understands that. Allah has no resemblance. Nobody similar to Him. No creation resembles Allah. So in that case, the attributes of Allah exactly the same. No resemblance, no comparison, nothing in creation comparable or similar to them. Because talking about the attributes is simply an extension from talking about Allah. It is one and the same thing. The sifat and the that. فَالْكَلَامُ فِي الصِّفَاتِ فَرْعٌ عَنِ الْكَلَامِ فِي الذَّاتِ فَكَمَا أَنَّ الذَّاتِ لَيْسَ لَهَا مَثِيلٌ فَالصِّفَاتِ كَذَلِكَ لَيْسَ لَهَا مَثِيلٌ. These are the types of topics that are the core of Aqeedah. These are the types of topics that are the basics and the building blocks of Aqeedah. When you go into the issues of Aqeedah, it is these topics. To really understand who your Creator is. To understand who your Lord is. These are the details you need to have an understanding of. These are details Allah has given us. Told us about His names and attributes. It is the scholars and the people of knowledge who learn about the names and attributes of Allah. We've been talking about Izzah just now and other things. When you gain that knowledge and have that understanding, that is what Allah said in the Quran then. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. That indeed it is the people of knowledge who truly fear Allah. Everybody claims they fear Allah. Everybody will claim, of course, I'm Muslim, I fear Allah. But Allah says in the Quran that it's the ulama who truly fear Him. How come? The meaning of it, the people of knowledge, the ones who understand all of this, they're the ones who have that reality of understanding of who their Creator is, and therefore have the reality of the fear from their Creator, the reality of the love for their Creator, the one who has knowledge. As for the one who knows nothing about Allah, then you're not going to say he's comparable to the one who has the knowledge regarding who his Lord is. Now the Shaykh, he goes on and he says, لو سئلنا, if we were asked, if somebody was to ask us after all of this discussion and everything we've been talking about, if somebody was to say, هل له أصابع? They say, you're talking about the hands of Allah previously, you're talking about the foot of Allah. Are there fingers, toes? As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, we mentioned before, remember, we only affirm what is affirmed and we don't go beyond that. So here now, talking about the foot of Allah, a person says something like this, هل له أصابع? نقول للسائل, and this is a Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. The people nowadays, they come and they say, Shaykh Rabi' is mutashaddid and he's this and he's that. And they say, you lot are madkhalis and everything. All of the nonsense they make up. All of these people from the Mumayya'ah, from the Hizbis. So look now at the statement of a Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. نقول للسائل, أنت مبتدع. ضم إحدى الشفتين إلى الأخرى وكف لسانك عنه. He says, if somebody starts coming and asking these types of questions, we say to him, you're an innovator. Stick one lip onto the other one and shut your mouth, basically, as you say in English. Stick one lip to the other one and control your tongue. That is what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says. لِأَنَّ مَنْ هُمْ أَفْضَلُ مِنْكْ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنْكْ وَأَخْشَى مِنْكْ وَأَتْقَى مِنْكْ وَأَحَبُّ مِنْكْ لِلْعِلْمِ وَأَشَدُّ تَعْظِيمًا لِلَّهِ لَمْ يَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَأْتِيهِ الْوَحِي فَسُؤَالُكَ هَلْ لِرِجْلِهِ أَصَابِعُ أَوْ لَا نَقُولْ أَنْتَ لِمَ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ هَذَا أَحُبًّا لِلَّهِ أَحُبًّا لِمَعْرِفَةِ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ أَطَمَعًا فِي زِيَادَةِ دَرَجَاتِ وَتَكْفِيرِ سَيِّئَاتِ أَمْ مَاذَا. So when a person says, particularly talking about the foot of Allah here, has the foot of Allah got toes? Person starts talking like that, Shaykh says, say to him, you're an innovator. Put your lips together, seal your lips and be quiet. Those who are better than you and more knowledgeable than you and more fearful of Allah than you, more submissive to Allah than you, who had a greater desire for knowledge than you, and they had a greater awe for their Creator than you. All of these characteristics they had more than you, yet they never asked this question to the Prophet ﷺ. Why did the Sahaba never ask this question? You think you're cleverer than the Sahaba, you've thought of this question and they didn't? You think you've got more desire to gain knowledge than they did? You think you have more love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain knowledge and to understand than they did? That cannot be the case. So the Shaykh says, they did not ask these questions. They did not go into these topics and delve into these issues. So who do you think you are delving into those topics and issues? Why? What is the reason? Hal, if the person says, in qulta na'am, قلنا لست أولى بهذا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. If the person says, yes, I have got a great desire and a great love and I want to know the details and seek knowledge, we say, no, the Sahaba had a greater desire and love, etc., to seek this knowledge, yet they did not ask this question. So do not think you're better than them now going into details they never went into. وَإِن قُلْتَ تَعَنُّطًا وَتَعَمُّقًا وَتَنَطُّعًا. If a person says, well,
okay, they didn't, but you know, I just want to go in deep. Just for the sake of going in deep and getting into the details of the issues and going in, delving in, I want to do it. I want to go into the issues and really dig deep about them. If a person says that, he says, okay, the Sahaba never asked, but me, just the way it is, curiosity, I want to really delve in and dig deep in all of these issues and go in far. Then we say to him, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, halaka al-mutanatti'un, halaka al-mutanatti'un, halaka al-mutanatti'un. Those who go into this excessiveness, go into this type of excessiveness, into this type of exaggeration, delving into what you have no need to delve into, they are destroyed. They destroy themselves delving into that which is of not your affair. فعليك أن تسكت عن هذا ويسعك ما وسع الناس يعني سلف. So upon you is to remain silent on this issue. Sufficient for you is what sufficed the Salaf. It sufficed them to know about this attribute, to hear about this hadith, and to not ask this question, does Allah have toes? Suffice them to not ask that question and to not delve into that. If it suffices them, the Salaf, the Sahaba, then it certainly suffices you to know the narration as it is and to leave it upon that, and not to delve in further into affairs that are not of your understanding or requirement. وَبِهَذَا نَسْتَرِيحْ مِنْ إِيرَادَاتْ كَثِيرَ يُرِيدُهَا الشَّيْطَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِنَا. And this is important because by explaining to the people that principle, the Sahaba, what was enough for them is enough for you. مَا وَسِعَهُمْ وَسِعَكُمْ. Enough for them, enough for you. Explaining that principle to people is important because it will then close the door to all types of questions. People will then start to have all types of whispers from the shaitan. So does that mean, if you're saying Allah has a foot, does that mean X? Does that mean Y? Does that mean Z? All types of possibilities, hypotheses, all types of things people will make up. Does that therefore mean this? Does that therefore mean that? Does that therefore mean this, that, the other? A million things, none of which are of any relevance to you, none of which are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, all of which are leading you to destruction in asking, because you have no need to delve into it. So you clarify to the people, stop that questioning where it is. There is no need to go like that. What is in the Quran and the Sunnah, we affirm and we take. And that is why you see the methodology of the Salaf, it is the sound methodology. The innovators, they used to say, manhaj al-salaf aslam wa manhajuna, yani ahlul bid'ah, they used to say about themselves, manhajuna aqal. They used to say the salaf, ahlul sunnah, their style of understanding the names and attributes, it's safe and sound. Take it as it is, affirm it as it is mentioned, affirm the reality of the meaning, no interpretations, no similes, no metaphors, no delving into affairs that aren't in the Quran and the Sunnah. Affirm the reality as it is, and that is your aqidah as it is. They said, the Salafi way, the old centuries ago, people of innovation, they used to say the Salafi way, it is safe and sound. But our way, the innovators used to say about themselves, their way, they used to say, is smarter. They used to say, okay, the Salafi way, it's safe and sound, but our way, it's smarter. We are more intelligent in how we look at the names and attributes. We find interpretations and understandings, we delve in. They, the Salafis, just stick to it as it is, safe and sound, but we are cleverer, smarter, more intellectual. We delve in and find other things. Little did they know that this apparent smartness was the reality of their actual downfall. That it was not smartness, it was foolishness to delve in and to interpret and give similes and metaphors. That led to their destruction. So they used to say the Salafi way is sound, but our way is cleverer. And in reality, the Salafi way is sounder and safer and smarter and cleverer. That is the methodology of the Salaf, because you affirm what is in the Quran and the Sunnah as it is upon reality, no interpretations of mankind. Then the Shaykh goes on to say, فَعَلَيْكَ بِالسُّكُوتِ, so upon you is to remain silent on these things, and don't start delving into all of these types of affairs. لِمَاذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ مَالِكِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ شَيْخُهُ رَبِيعَةِ. That famous statement of Imam Malik, when he said to that person, when the person walked in and Imam Malik was talking about the ayah ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, the man walked in and he said, كيف استوى? So Imam Malik, it mentions in the narration. In fact, Shaykh Abd al-Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abd al-Masih al-Abbad, he has a small bahth, maybe 100 pages, 200 pages, about this issue, this incident which happened. Talks about it all, explains it, the change of narration, everything. So in this particular incident, the man came in and said to Imam Malik, when Imam Malik was talking about Allah rising above the throne, the man said, how does Allah rise above the throne? So it is mentioned in the narrations, Imam Malik, he became yani angered at this question. In some narrations it says that he started to shake and his face started to become red. Started to shake and become red at this question. This man saying, how does Allah rise above the throne? So then Imam Malik replied to him and said, he said to him, Al-Istiwa Ma'loom. The fact that Allah, and this is a principle for every name and attribute, all of the attributes. He said, the fact that Allah rises above the throne, is established above the throne, the Istiwa, that is something known to us. That's in the Quran, the Sunnah, that Allah is arisen and established above the throne. That we know. That isn't something confusing. We establish, affirm, acknowledge that. Then he said, Al-Istiwa Ma'loom Wa Al-Kayfu Majhool. But how does Allah rise above the throne? That is something unknown to us. Allah hasn't given us that knowledge. وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You've not been given knowledge except a small amount. That knowledge of how is not something Allah has taught us. All these attributes, the foot, the hands, the howness of them, the details of them, have we been given that? We have not. The details and the descriptions and the precisions, we've not been given that. So the how Imam Malik said to him, that we don't know. Allah makes the istiwa, is arisen, ascended and established above the throne, that we know. Allah tells us that in the Quran. How does Allah do that? We don't know. We've not been told that in the Quran. Then he said to him on top, point number three, Al-Imanu bihi wajib. Despite not knowing the details, Iman in it is still wajib upon you. Don't say, well, I don't get it, I don't understand, not comparable to creation, then what? None of that stuff. It is mentioned there in the Quran, in the Sunnah, Allah telling you. And they say, who is more knowledgeable of Allah than Allah? Allah tells you about Himself, tells you about these attributes about Himself. So Iman is wajib. We know what the attribute is, we don't know how, the details, the specifics, but having Iman in it is obligatory. And point number four, وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ. Asking these questions about it is an innovation. You coming here now, how does Allah rise above the throne? Asking these types of how and what and why, these types of things are not permissible when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah. Because it will cause all types of confusions to you going outside of what is in the Quran and the Sunnah. Going outside of what Allah has given us, you try to be intellectual like the people of innovation and you will never succeed. An obvious example of this is when Allah mentions that He descends in the last third of the night. That Allah descends in the last third of the night. You know the narrations. إذا بقي ثلث الليل الأخير, when the last third of the night remains, ينزل ربنا إلى السماء الدنيا, then our Lord descends to the lowest heaven closest to the earth. When does that happen? In the last third of the night. So in the last third of the night tonight, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock a.m., we believe in the narration that Allah descends to the lowest heaven. And it's a time for dua and a time for seeking repentance, etc. A person who tries to go intellectual with this will say to you, at 4 a.m. in the UK or 5 a.m., whatever the time, is the last third of the night starting here. At 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., sun rises here. But at 7 a.m., the last third of the night has finished here. The sun has arisen. But look on the map slightly to the other side, and their last third of the night will only just be coming in. America, the east coast of America, their night will come in 5 hours or so after our night comes in. So when our last third of the night finishes, it will be the last third of the night across the Atlantic. And when it finishes there, it will be the last third of the night in America. Meaning at somewhere in the world, it will always be the last third of the night. Somewhere in the world will always be the last third of the night. Right now, we're in the early stages of the night. But go eastwards in the world, Eastern Europe has already experienced the last third of the night. Eastern Europe or going into Asia and those types of areas down that side, they will have already gone into the last third of the night because their clocks are ahead of us. So that means the last third of the night is always happening somewhere. So then what's the person who starts going beyond what the Quran and the Sunnah commanded us to do going to start saying? He's going to say, in that case, what does this narration mean? How does it work? Allah descends in the last third of the night, but it's always the last third of the night somewhere. So is Allah always descending? Those things, did the Sahaba ever talk about them? Those things, did the Sahaba ever delve into them? Did they ever open them up? No. Rather, we affirm, last third of the night, you're here, you're in Manchester, you're in the UK, wherever you are, in the last third of the night, your hours on your clock, last third of the night, then the narration is applicable. You're in Australia, you're in America, you're in Europe, in your place, the last third of the night, the narration is applicable to you. Then if a person becomes philosophical and goes down the line of Ahlul Bid'ah, you end up with these confusions where your mind takes you astray. But it's always the last third of the night somewhere in the world. So then is Allah always descending? But if then Allah is always descending, how is Allah istiwa ala al-arsh? How is Allah arisen above the throne and established above the throne? If Allah is always descending, you see the confusions and how you are led astray by the shaitan. Those are affairs that you go beyond the Quran and the Sunnah and lead yourself astray. So it's important to start learning these principles carefully as we go along. This is Kitab al-Tawheed. That was the chapter. The chapter is teaching you the basics of Tawheed, the basics of understanding who your Creator is, who your Lord is, who you are praying to 5 times a day. So you need to understand these rules of the names and attributes of Allah, not to fall into the greatest thing that people fell into misguidance over, these affairs of names and attributes. Talking about Allah not having names and attributes, affirming. Some of them say Allah has names, but they reject the attributes. They say Allah is As-Sami', the all-hearing, but He doesn't have the attribute of hearing. Allah is Al-Aziz, the mighty, the powerful, but He doesn't have Izzah. These are the misguidances they fell into due to falling into philosophy and intellectualism. So, learn the principles as we go along one by one. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll conclude there for tonight. We'll carry on with it from next week at the same time, from that point onwards. And we'll do the rest of the change as well, the change of the change, the tahweel, as they mention, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Is there any questions on anything? No.
You said to some callers, they say that we shouldn't learn these issues because they split the ummah, and the ummah needs to be united.
Oh.
And there are more important things.
Some people, they say, many people, they say,
majority of Manchester outside of this mosque will say that you people studying these types of things, that is exactly what splits up the Muslims. Why? Because there are Muslims upon the Ash'ari Aqeedah, others upon the Mu'tazili Aqeedah, upon the Jahmi Aqeedah, Maturidi, all types of different beliefs they have. So they say, you studying all of these things, you're going to end up splitting people. Because then people are going to start feeling left out. There's a miskeen here, he's been taught Allah has no names and attributes. Here we are for the last couple of months talking about all of these names and attributes of Allah. You've split him away now, you've isolated him. You're going to split up people talking about these details of Tawheed. That's what they say. They do say that. The Ikhwanis and their likes, they say that. And this is completely false. It is completely 180 degrees. Studying these things, these issues, this is the basis of unity. Without these issues, there cannot be unity. The actual unity in the first place will be upon this one aqeedah, upon this one methodology. There is only one pathway to Allah, that famous statement of Ibn al-Qayyim. He said, the path to Allah, الطريق الموصل إلى الله واحد. He said, the path which takes you to Allah is only one. وَلَوْ أَتَى النَّاسِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الطَّرَقِ وَمِنْ جَمِيعِ الْأَبْوَابِ. If the people come from all of these other pathways and all of these other doors trying to get into that one path, لَوَجَدُ الْأَبْوَابِ مُغْلَقَ وَالطُّرُقِ مَسْدُودَ. He said they will find all of those other pathways, the pathways blocked and all of those other doors locked. There is only one pathway to Allah. That is the one revelation that Allah gave us. Unity is based upon that alone. Returning back to the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah. Unity cannot be, you have whatever aqidah you want, I'll have mine. You want to believe Allah has names and attributes, okay. He doesn't want to believe Allah has names and attributes. It's all good, we're still together. That is the way of the Ikhwanis. That is not unity. Unity will not be except upon what the unity was at the time of the Salaf. The unity at the time of the Salaf was purely upon clinging to that one guidance, revelation of Quran and Sunnah. So their claim that Aqeedah splits the people is actually completely 180 degrees. The only thing that will unite the people in this Aqeedah. What does Aqeedah mean linguistically in Arabic? Something tied together, knotted together, something put together. This aqeedah is something clinging together in a mold in your heart. And this aqeedah is what brings everyone together upon unity, upon one way. That is unity, it is not splitting. Leave it there in that case. Inshallah, carry on next week then.